something important, so we're on. Okay, so I asked Tim to come back. You're socially distanced. We're socially distanced. We're very socially distanced from those of you at home. You guys, I just want to say, like, Darnella, Garrett, Lloyd, your team there at the sites, don't go too far, because I want us to go back over because he lives. And we were just kind of getting after it here, but I want us to, could we just sing that again? This is a song that we need. We need the truth of this song. Can we do this together? And here's what I would love to do. It's just so good to see you guys, and it's so good to know that you're joining us. But let's I heard it, but can we put some of those down home harmonies on there at the sites where you guys layer those in if you know those harmonies? Can we just do that? Tim, you sing that third up there. Kenny, you're going to drive the melody? You're just going to stay on the melody? Okay. Hannah, just be Hannah. That's awesome. Okay. All right. So let's just do this, okay? Take us, Kenny. Y'all sing now.
Because he lives.
That tag without even the piano.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Listen, I just need you to know that at the, in the glorious 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says that if there is no resurrection, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if you keep reading, what he says there is, like, we're stuck. We're just dead in our tracks. We are stuck in our sins. In fact, he goes on to say, we above all people should be pitied. You know why? Because we're believing in something that didn't happen, and we're placing our hope in someone who cannot help us. But if the resurrection happened, if the resurrection happened, if Jesus lives, then that means he gets the last word. That means there's more to the story. There's more to our story. And that makes us a people of what? Hope. Now, when I say hope, I don't mean the naive kind of, oh, it's not that bad sort of hope. And I don't mean the condescending, there, it'll all be better hope. I mean a people who will face the challenges and the brokenness and the hurt and the chaos of the day and still proclaim that Jesus is Lord of all, because he wins, hope wins. It is Jesus that we will proclaim. And now you get to the place where Paul says these words, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You keep doing what God has called you to do because Jesus is Lord. Now, some of you at this point are going, man, he's coming in awful hot today. Well, why wouldn't I? It wasn't exactly a low-key week, was it? I mean, I've been waiting for one of those all through 2020. I've been waiting to just show up and go, hey, not much happened this week. What do you guys want to talk about? But that's not the week. I mean, we knew this past week was going to be something, didn't we? But wow. So where do we start? Well, if you were with us last week and you paid attention, you know exactly where we're going to start. You guys remember this? Watch this. But then next week we'll come back and we'll talk about, we'll end up this service and we'll talk about how Jesus is King. And we'll, we already know how that service is shaping up before we know who won the election. You see, I'm on record, and some of you might know, there's a, like, in writing, I've already said that oftentimes after an election like this, we come back to Jeremiah 29, and by golly, we will again. So we're gonna remind ourselves that Jesus is king, that God is not finished with us, what it means to work for and to pray for the peace of our city. All of that's gonna happen. And I can tell you that before I know who wins or if we'll even know who has won by then. See how that works? So here's the thing, some of you are going, but we know who won. And a few of you are going, no, we don't know who won. Listen, let's just say this, okay? With all major news networks now proclaiming a winner, we're gonna operate as if that is the fact until we're told otherwise. Does that mean that that's the last we're gonna hear of it? It doesn't sound like it. Does it mean that it's the last of this tension? I don't think so. If we've learned anything, if we've been reminded of anything in recent days, it is that the land of the free and the home of the brave is also the land, well, it's the land of deep distrust. And it's the home of great divide. And it's not even anymore when you have a different viewpoint than me, it's not just that you're different from me, it's that you're a threat, you're dangerous. You see, there was an exit poll this past week. You know, why am I even quoting a poll? If you're a pollster out there, we're just kind of praying for you. You had a tough week. But there was an exit poll that I think this will make sense to you. I forget the exact numbers, but they said close to half of Trump voters said they would be frightened if Biden won. And just a little bit over half of Biden voters said they would be frightened if Trump won. You see where we are? So where do we start? What do we do? Well, we're gonna come back into the Word of God. That's where we're gonna go because we are the people of God. But let me just give you one little pastoral pointer, okay? There may be a second one coming a little bit later. But here it is. I don't think we're done with the roiling and the boiling of all that is happening in our world. I really don't. And so I would ask you in the coming days and weeks in particular, protect your heart. We've been saying this, but protect your heart. Are you familiar with the term doom scrolling? It's been out there, but it's like we always scroll through our phones and we just kind of, with a flick of the thumb, we can go through a whole bunch of headlines. Maybe it's our news feed, maybe it's our social media. We're just kind of going through these things. And you can get to a point where all you're doing is noticing all of the bad headlines. You're doom scrolling. And in 30, 60 seconds, you have just changed the feeling in your heart. You haven't even looked at any of the stories and you're like, ugh, and you go right back to what you were doing. Now, you can get to the point where we said a few weeks ago where you go down the rabbit holes and you begin to see all of the different theories and ideas about this trouble or this thing that's going on, and you've got stories that conflict each other and that, you know, this is true, no, this is true. And in the fire hose of information that now is the internet, we as the people of God need to learn how to be savvy. We've talked about this a couple of times in recent weeks. I want you to be careful with this. But gang, what we're finding is that if you go down these rabbit holes and you doom scroll, it actually leads to a mental anguish and a physical form of distress. And why wouldn't it? Because you look at it all and you just are overwhelmed and you're angry and you don't know what to do with it. Nicole Ellison at the University of Michigan's School of Information said in a Wired magazine article, she said there's a lot of, and it was about this particular phenomenon, she says there's a lot of demand on cognitive processing to make sense of this. Your brain is trying to make sense of this, but there's no overarching narrative that helps us. You see, without an overarching narrative, we just get, and before you know it, we're just overwhelmed, and that leads to a kind of anxiety. It can lead to an anger. It can lead to an ugliness. You see, without an overarching narrative, if I'm not careful, I end up acting and sounding like my worst self. But there is a better way, and I believe there is an overarching narrative, and this is what we come back to no matter where you stand on a political spectrum. So I want us to jump back into the Word of God and to see what that narrative is, just to see what is a big thought that we can place ourselves in and find our part in the story. So let's pray and we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and I'm grateful that you are faithful. I'm grateful that you are the eternal one, that you are God. That you can handle everything that we are bringing you today, Lord. Our frustrations, God, our longings, our fears, our hopes, our excitements, our dreams, all of it, God. You are here, you are ready, and please now draw us back into your word, to your story, to hear your voice. I ask this in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so where do we start with this idea? I would just say, how about this? God is big. Okay, so God is big, and the story is really, really big, and that's a really, really big thought, and that's just gonna take us a long time to unpack this narrative if we just start with God being big, right? So I would just say, settle in, those of you who are here. If you're at home, it's not gonna be a brunch, it'll be a lunch, put some soup on. This is gonna take, no, I'm kidding. Well, you should see the faces here. I can feel the angst through the masks. They're like, and some of you at home are like, click. No, don't. Okay, don't. Stay. Sit back down. Why am I saying sit back down? Are you going to go up and change the... This isn't 1958, so I don't even know what I'm saying, but just wait. I was just kidding. I want to just give you a couple of thoughts here, though. God is timeless. God is eternal. God existed before there was time. He is not dependent on time. He is not dependent on seeing how circumstances roll out before he figures out his plan. I believe God is not overwhelmed or thrown by anything that is coming our way. God is eternal. In fact, what we see in Isaiah 43 is that God refers to himself as existing before there were even days. In Genesis 1, he is the one who created day and night. In Psalm 90, he is everlasting to everlasting. By the time you get to Isaiah 44, the Lord of hosts, the King of Israel, says, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. You get to Revelation and Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What am I saying to you? Let's start here. Our God is timeless. He is eternal and none of this intimidates him. And he is sovereign. Our God is in control. So no matter what headline, no matter what personal heartache right now is rattling you, God reigns. I believe that. And if you don't, then we're going to get lost in all of this. And by the way, this leads us to our fifth and final core value, if you want to call them that, these common themes that we've been talking about. And it turns out it's been a very timely series. God has led us through this. But here it is. If God is eternal, if God is truly in charge, if God is sovereign, then we are a people of hope. And you know what that means? That means God, here's number five, God is not finished with us or this world. You see, that's how we're going to operate from here on out. We're going to take just one step and then the next step after that, and we are going to trust in humble obedience that God actually knows what he's doing. And now we're ready for that famous verse that we said we would get to, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Eternal, plans for peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, we talked about this in the spring. This is a glorious promise. This is it's just so big, and there's so much there, we won't even be able to unpack it all. But I will say this much. You have to understand the context. Now, I think you have to be really careful. You can't take everything that you see that is said to ancient Israel and apply it to us today. We are not the ancient state of Israel, but there are some beautiful, glorious things that will translate to us in the 21st century. But we have to understand the context. You can't just take that one verse out and hang on to it. If you really want to know how beautiful it is, then look at everything around it. So if you'll recall, some of you might remember, this is written in the heartbreaking, terrible times of the exile. This is a moment when Israel, Judah is really what it was called. It's the last that remained of the kingdom of Israel. But over the course of many years, it is conquered by ancient Babylon. And it's a difficult, difficult time. It ends with the destruction of Jerusalem. But I will tell you, over the course of time, there were people that were deported. I mean, these are political prisoners, hostages that are taken from Israel and they're taken to Babylon. I mean, the whole culture is gutted. It's artists and craftsmen and young people, the future of Israel. It's just taken from Israel and put into Babylon. And so Jeremiah is in the middle of this book, chapter 29. You see a letter that he wrote. He gets it through diplomatic channels, and it goes to those people who are in exile. He is not there in Babylon, but he is writing to those people. And what he's basically saying here is that this is going to last longer than you want, but I need to give you a word from the Lord. And so what does he say? He says, listen, it's going to take longer than you want. It will end. But God is with you right now. God is with you right now. In the middle of all that you are going through, this is what God says to you. Verse 5, build houses, Make homes for your families, because you are not coming back to Judah anytime soon. You can kind of see there's italics there. That's just because when this particular translation was rendered, that's sort of inferred in the Hebrew, but it's not exactly in the Hebrew. I just need you to know they were real careful about this book. Plant gardens and eat the food you grow there. Marry and have children. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they can have children. During these years of captivity, let your families grow and not die out. Pursue the peace and welfare of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to me, the Eternal, for Babylon. Pray to me, the Eternal, for Babylon, because if it has peace, you will live in peace. Now, I said and made the call, like side, you know, eight ball in the side pocket. I wanted you to understand we were going to talk about this before we knew who the winner of this election was, because this applies to us no matter who is the president of the United States. I want you to understand God is eternal and his word, it stands up to everything. Gang, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about politics, but I'm quite sure that some of you are feeling a variety of emotions now. And so every 4 years, we have to just kind of hit time out and just talk maybe to two different sides here. And I know as soon as I do that, I can already tell you, having done this a few times, I mean, I've been doing this for years. And for those of you who are wondering, I became the pastor when I was in the seventh grade, so that's how that worked. But I'm just saying that some of you are gonna try to read a subtext into all of this that's just simply not there. It won't do you any good. I know this is, you remember the pastor who wanted to make an illustration like with props and a physical illustration? I've told you this before. And so he's got these four jars out there and four different worms. You remember that? So he places a worm in each one of these jars. The first jar is full of beer. He puts a worm in there. Second jar is full of cigarette smoke. Boom. Third jar, chocolate syrup. Boom. Third jar was just this rich, loamy, fertile soil. Boom. Puts him in there. So you got it? You got four jars. You got beer, you've got cigarette smoke, you got chocolate, and you've got soil, healthy soil. And so at the end of the message, he teaches this whole thing, and he goes back to see how the experiment worked. Worm in the beer jar, dead. Worm in the cigarette smoke, dead. Worm in the chocolate sauce, dead. The only worm that was living was the one in the rich, fertile soil. And so he looked at his people and he said, "So, do you understand what I'm trying to say?" And there was a woman in the back that said, "Yes, if you drink beer, smoke, and eat chocolate, you'll never get worms." So I know full well that there is a real possibility that I'm going to be misunderstood now. But I want to speak to two different camps for just a second. For those of you right now who are feeling something because your candidate lost, we said last week that being passionate is a good thing. But when we're passionate, it means that we're investing part of ourselves into something. And so when you become passionate about a political process and a political party or a political candidate, you will then run the risk of being hurt, disappointed, angry, disillusioned, any number of things, when your side doesn't win. And so that is actually a pretty normal feeling and reaction that people get. And some people are gonna have a really strong reaction right now, and then it's gonna kind of dissipate. Some people are going to kind of keep that churned up. I don't know that that's gonna do them any good, but I just want you to know, if that's you and you're feeling it, first of all, I get it. I get that you're feeling this thing, and it can lead to anxiety. It can lead to anger. Like I said, it can lead to a kind of ugliness. No matter if your candidate, like we could talk local, state, federal candidates and any mix of all of this, and it can lead to those things, but it can also just be a genuine concern where you're like, man, I'm worried about our country, I'm worried about my family, I'm worried about, and all of that. I just want you to understand that I get that feeling. I understand this is what happens when you invest in a political process. But I also want you to remember last week when we said that whatever God has led you to be passionate about before the election, you stay passionate about it. If it's connected to godly principles and to his word, you stay passionate about it after the election. Get involved. Truth needs to be championed. People need to be encouraged. Wrongs need to be righted. Whatever it is that God laid on your heart before then, it's still something. Get involved with the kingdom of God, because here it is. The kingdom of God will not stop advancing. The kingdom of God is not dependent on a political party or a person. The kingdom of God will still be advancing long after both of these candidates and both of these political parties are long gone. Jesus is king, not Caesar. Now, some of you, as soon as I say that, are on the other side of this thing, and you're going, I can't believe you spent all that time talking to those people. I mean, I can't even believe they're feeling that way. Ah, but remember, there are Jesus-loving, Bible-reading followers of Christ who prayed through, and as best as they could hear God's voice, they feel like that is what God called them to do and how God called them to vote. And you got to remember that. If your guy won, you've got to remember that. There are followers of Jesus who right now are feeling something far different from you. So if your guy won, first of all, it's okay for you to feel relieved. It's okay for you to feel something there. That's as normal as the other reaction. But I want you to be gentle with that. I want you to understand that we've got to move forward with this. With all due respect to the Swedish pop group ABBA, here's the second pastoral pointer. Don't ever confuse your Heavenly Father, ABBA, with the Swedish pop group, ABBA, okay? So they're just completely different. That is a fatal error. So, but with all due respect to the Swedish pop group, ABBA, the winner doesn't take it all. This isn't a zero-sum game. We are going to have to figure out how to work together on some things. Ah, both sides would be saying, yeah, but that side didn't work with me, and this side didn't work with me. We've got to move forward. I want you to remember that this our president-elect is just a man. And politics can only go so far with this. We, the people of God, have got to be passionate about the things God has laid on our hearts that are connected to his word, and we've got to work together to get things done in the kingdom of God. This is what we are called to do. Don't wait for a politician to fix it. That's unrealistic and it's unfair. Get involved, no matter who you are, no matter what your issues are that are biblical. Get involved, pass the vote, and let's go. But for those of you who are at a place right now where your guy won, I want you to remember now what it was like 4 years ago if maybe your guy didn't win. I want you to understand that it is good for us to be humble. It is good for us to be gentle with each other no matter which side of this thing we're on. And some of you, honestly, you have friends, you have family members that are gonna gather at the Thanksgiving table with you. You have, if that's even gonna be allowed, you have coworkers, you have somebody who is sitting right in front of you in church who just feels completely different than you did. But no matter where you stand on any of this, can we just all agree? Listen, if you care about the world as much as that, I know that you do, then can we agree that God has called us to do something together for his glory, to serve people made in God's image, and to get things done in this world? This is what we are called to do. So let's be a people who do it differently, even if we have these different sorts of opinions about that. Now, that's really about as far as I wanted to go with that. And to be honest with you, like I said, we can do this. And if you want to go back and you say, well, I can't believe you said that this year, I could take you back 4 years ago, said almost the exact same thing when there was a different outcome, because this is how it works, okay? But it doesn't matter who you are. In recent weeks, I haven't heard or talked to anyone who isn't saying, man, our world is in a sorry state and we need supernatural help. Well, we're the ones who can point people towards that supernatural help. So what do we do? Jeremiah, in this letter, he sends this out and he gives them things to do in the middle of this struggle that they're in. And of course, the first thing he said, we won't have time to go through all of this, but he says, I think he's saying part of what he's reminding them of in chapter 29 is their identity, that they belong to him. I am your God and you are my people. I am the God of Israel. So don't forget your identity. Now, you're not ancient Israel. We said that. But if you follow Jesus, I don't want you to forget that you're a son or a daughter of the king. This is who you are. Don't forget that. Second thing is, right now, wherever you are, right now, do what is life-giving right now. We're going to play the long game. Don't wait for the end. Don't wait for something else to change. Get involved right now. He says, plant gardens, build houses, raise families. God says to them, increase, don't decrease. You let your families grow, get married, make babies. I said this in the spring, so there, you're welcome. I fully expect an uptick in our kids' ministry. This is how it works. You're welcome, by the way. So just understand that we're going to be a people who get things done in this world, and then this. Work for peace and welfare in the place where you find yourself. Now, gang, I want you to understand, you're going to hear in the coming days, we've already heard, a lot about culture wars. And maybe we should talk about culture wars, and we should talk about these struggles that are happening in our world. But here's something I don't want us to fall into the trap of. We cannot write off the rest of the world. We just can't write off people who seem to be different than us. It could be our neighbors. It could be the people we work with. It could be people who are older than us, people who are younger than us, people who make more money, who make less money, people who live in different neighborhoods, people who just have different viewpoints or different tastes. Yes, of course, people who vote differently. We cannot write all of these people off. You see, in those days, the people of God that were in exile could have been tempted to look at these Babylonians and basically just see all that was different between them and just live in a seething hatred of them. But God says, no, they're different, but I want you to make a difference where you are right now. I want you to get after it right now. So what does that mean? Don't lose your distinctiveness as a Christ follower. Don't get lost in the chaos. Don't get sucked into some of these really ugly things that they will not do your heart any good and they don't do the kingdom any good. Speak truth, but do it in love. Just don't get lost in the chaos. Be different. And then I would say don't retreat in horror and fear. Don't look at everything that is going on in the world. Forget about the politics. Don't look at everything that is going on in the world and say, this is it. It is over. There's a term that sometimes people will use. They'll call it righteous indignation. So righteous indignation is this idea that, I am offended for a good reason with the sin that is going on in the world. And we feel that. Gang, I want you to hear something now. Our indignation isn't very righteous if we're wishing for the world to go to hell under our breath. What it says here is to be someone who brings more peace to the situation, not less. Wholeness, put back togetherness, shalom in the Hebrew. Be someone who is actually for others and for what God is doing in the world. Of course, we would say you bring the gospel into this world. You were made for this. You were made to make a difference. So now, let's do this. Let's move into this world together. Specifically, though, I want to just give you a couple of examples here because you could be thinking at this point, it's just, Greg, that's just blah, blah, blah. That's like pie in the sky stuff that you're talking about. So let me just give you a couple of quick examples here before we end with a very sweet time of communion. So here's something for you. It has to be, I think there's an economic aspect to this. You can talk about this in so many different ways, but let's be catalysts for good things in this world. And we're in a struggle right now that predated the election and this strange 2020 that we're in. We need people who are going to encourage business owners and small businesses and entrepreneurs and inventors and people who are going to connect men and women who sit in the C-suites. They've got the corner office in the building and connect them with younger people who are just entering into the marketplace so that they can be mentored. We need to help people to connect in a way that maybe they have never connected before. So I want you to understand that if you are a small business owner, if you are an entrepreneur, if you're an inventor, if you're a young person that is just now beginning to step out into the marketplace, not only do we think about you and pray for you, but we are now forming a way where we want to encourage you to allow some things to kind of spark. Some of you have forgotten more about business than I'll ever know. You need to bring all that you have to the table and let's get you talking to other people and let's see what God does. What if this right here, what if St. Louis became like a hub of activity where all sorts of things started to happen and it spurred an economic growth? That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? That would be working for the shalom of the city. Now, you're going to hear something about an extraordinary thing that's going to happen across all sites together where we pour into small business leaders and owners and all those people that I just said, and we're going to connect you to each other. There's an event, I'm going to say it's 3 weeks from now, is that it, ish? And we just want you to be a part of this. Pay attention, we're going to tell you more about it, but we're already getting a groundswell of people going, wait, this is what we've needed. Let's not wait for politicians to solve this. The kingdom of God, let's move forward and let's do this. By the way, if you want a taste of that, you should jump in on Corporate Faith tomorrow from noon central to 12:30. And I mean, we drop the mic at 12:30. It does not go over. But we have been gathering leaders and businessmen and women and young people and retired people who still have great wisdom to be pouring into this. We've been gathering people together to hear from local and even national leaders who are beginning to tell us, this is what it's like to lead. This is what I'm learning. And they're connecting to each other. And you want to be a part of that. Tomorrow is Mike Mantell. Dr. Mantell is the CEO of Living Water International. Many of you might recognize that name. He's going to talk to us about what it's like leading a global organization through all of these crises, and how do you keep your focus, and how, I can't wait to hear from him. So we would ask you to sign up and to join us on that. It's a Zoom call, and yep, I know it's Zoom, but that's how we're doing this now, and it means you can do it right from your office. So I hope that you join us, and that'll be a way to hear more about this. So there's a partnership thing that's happening there, though, right? We're just gonna come up next to other people who know what they're doing. We're gonna learn from them. We're not gonna reinvent the wheel. When I said earlier that we can be passionate and humble, I'm really passionate about seeing what God is doing in this world, but there's no way we know everything or that we're doing everything just so. One of the things I want you to hear now is how we here locally are really crafting our partnership with people and why we're doing that. So I want you to watch two of our leaders here in the church. They're gonna have a conversation and you're gonna learn some things that maybe you didn't know. So watch this.
I have the privilege of sitting down with you right now and talking about our outreach efforts.
Yeah.
You lead that whole area, which is amazing. And I would just love to talk about not just what outreach does, what we do, but how we do what we do, because the vision behind that is really important for folks to hear.
It really is, and it's really unique.
Yeah.
So we really believe in finding organizations both locally and globally who are already working in areas of poverty, in areas where people are oppressed or marginalized, or just areas of deep need, and coming alongside them, partnering in what they're doing to bring hope and dignity to people.
I love that. That's so different. So we're finding experts, really.
We really are.
With experience and great understanding in the areas where they work.
Right, yeah.
And we're collaborating with them.
We are, yeah.
Which is genius. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. They have relationships with these people, and when you have relationships, you get to see, you get to hear the stories of where the struggle is and where the deep need is. And oftentimes, people who are living in poverty or what Jesus calls the least of these, they are not necessarily looking for physical things, although they have a need for physical things. They're really looking for emotional support, and they're looking for hope. They're looking to have their dignity restored. And these organizations do a fabulous job of it. And we love getting to be a part of their story and what they're doing.
Yes, yes, that kind of depth of understanding that we can just come alongside and champion and partner with them and just support what they're already so good at.
Yep.
I just love that.
Yeah.
Of course, our people, this is so close to the heartbeat of who we are, right? This is us living out that Ikad, that we are one, that Christ prayed for us to be. So our people are itching to serve and tell them about the next way that's coming.
Yeah, so we have Give Food coming up next Saturday, November 14th. This is a way for us as one big church to support several of our partners through those physical, tangible things, like food, warm winter items, diapers, some things like that. So next Saturday morning, just in the morning from 9 to noon, you'll be able to drop off food items at three locations. If you don't feel safe doing that, if you aren't going to be in town, we also have an Amazon wish list that you can order from. It'll be delivered to Chesterfield, and we will have a team of people that will get those items out to our partners.
That's so good. I'm going to be driving back into town that morning, so I'm going to be doing the Amazon wish list, and everybody who watches us from outside of St. Louis can do that too.
Yeah.
Now, what about people in our midst.
That's right.
Might be in need.
Yep. This has been a year of deep struggle for a lot of people.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that we are serving people inside our walls as much as we are outside our walls. So if you find yourself in need, we have a place on the website where you can sign up to let us serve you with some food.
All right.
It's confidential. We'll contact you to figure out how to make the exchange, but
Beautiful.
We would love to serve you.
I mean, have you begun to see us really affect change?
Oh, my word. You know where I see it is when we have individuals who invest in our partners. So we have one guy right now who has really linked on to a partner that we have. They had some big renovation things that needed to happen, and almost every week he's taken a different group of friends down there, wow, masked up, and they have been doing a lot of work down there to prepare a home for our unhoused friends. It's stories like that that bring hope and that do make me think that change is coming and change is in process.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing with us today. And I, that does give us hope. Praise God for what he's doing through
That's right.
Mm-hmm. us.
Yeah. We just thought it was important for you to hear and to hear some of the ways that the kingdom is working its way through our city. We're trying to put our actions and our efforts and even our resources, you know, where our mouth is, basically. We're not just going to talk about this. We're going to do it. In fact, some people have said, you guys aren't telling us enough stories about what we're doing as a people. And the truth is, if you just want to know the truth, I don't know if it's a St. Louis thing, I don't know if it's a Midwest thing, but there's a little bit of kind of downplaying stuff and just go, we don't want to tell you like what we're doing. And, you know, and the truth is we need to share what God is doing in our midst. So I'm going to ask Pastor Anthony to come up here now, because there's another thing that we're doing. Now, you are one of those people who I see you building bridges in so many different ways, brokering shalom. You're the one who's overseeing the corporate faith thing.
Yeah.
You're the one who is helping in those areas. You're helping us build bridges in so many parts of our city. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today was the ministry. I don't even know what else to call it, Anthony, but I think that you, and you've invited me in just a little bit, the opportunity to pastor law enforcement officials, officers, leaders, throughout the entire St. Louis metropolitan area. Why is that important, first of all?
It's hugely important because I think that law enforcement is still a noble profession, but it's really hard. And it's hard every day, and I've got friends and family. I used to be a cop, so I understand uniquely what it's like to put on that badge and gun and go out into the chaos and what that feels like and what that sounds like. And so sometimes they don't have community. And what better community than a community of faith around them, pouring into them, not just in uniform, but for their lives, their whole lives. So we try to step into that. I try to step into that.
And when you say community of faith, that doesn't necessarily mean that these people, I would say the vast majority of them, do not and are not a part of the crossing. It's like all departments are invited and involved. St. Charles County, Jefferson County.
It's all over.
City, county, the whole thing. And you're seeing people at different levels. And I watch you pastor them. I watch you encourage them. In day-to-day things, hey, do this, don't do that. But we're showing on the screen now. And sometimes there is a moment where you are, it's go time in a pretty hot moment, and you're the one that is there with him. Will you explain this?
I get the pleasure to serve as one of the chaplains for St. Louis County Police Department. That is right before one of the summer unrest at a staging area, and that's St. Louis County tactical team, that's the SWAT team, and prayer before they suit up and go out to, you know, and so it's amazing that no one said, hey, I don't need prayer. Everybody wants prayer because everybody wants to go home safe. They want everybody to go home safe. And they are the best and the brightest. They're well-trained. They're well-led. And so that's a pleasure just to serve them.
But I love you doing this day and night, and there are gatherings that we're forming, and you invited me to some of these where it's like a bunch of officers are coming together and building bridges across departments. So we hear everybody talking about, well, we've got to work to work together on things. Like I hear city and county. I was in a meeting where I heard city and county in St. Charles County. I just saw people connecting and saying, how can we help each other?
It's city, county, it's across the river, it's black and white officers. It's they don't just live in uniform. And so how do we build that bridge between divides and tell a better story, better narrative? And we're going to think in the future that really makes the world a little bit smaller and builds community a lot better.
Yeah, okay, so that's right. It's telling a better story. If you're a law enforcement officer, you need to know, contact Pastor Anthony. We want to be involved with this. We're doing a lot of things behind the scenes. But this man is a broker of shalom, and he represents you, and there are other pastors that are involved with this. I just thought you should know, this is what it looks like to work for the peace of your city. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, so, All right, so, really what I'm just trying to tell you, and we're done with the examples now, God is saying, if you belong to me, then trust me that I know what I'm doing, and let me walk you through this. because I am still doing things now. Trust that I will accomplish things now. Oh, yeah. And pray to me for Babylon. No, wait, that was their enemy. That's crazy talk. You're going to pray for your enemy? Yep, that's what they said about Jesus in Matthew 5 when he said, pray for your enemies. See, some of us are like, that's just unrealistic. Don't take it up with me. Okay, these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of the eternal one. I would just say this. I don't like using the word enemy when it comes to these political things because I think it's too charged. I will say the same thing that I said 4 years ago and 4 years before that and so on and so on and so on. It is time for each of us, no matter who we are, to pray for our next president. And that's just going to make some of your heads explode. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for President-elect Biden that God leads him. I'm going to pray that he has people around him, that God leads him to put people around him who will speak truth to him, that will speak truth to power, who will give him godly wisdom and advice. I'm going to pray that his own spiritual journey picks up in a way that he can't even... He doesn't even know how close God is going to get to him right now, that God would woo him to his heart. I'm going to pray for all of those things and pray for this to now work, because if there is peace in the city, then there's peace for us. This is what God said. Now, I really don't see a political party or a candidate on either side as an enemy. My enemy is the evil one who is seeking out to destroy everything that God is for. So I'm asking you, as God leads you and empowers you, and it might be a miracle, but start to pray big, big prayers. And know this, what God says is, what the Eternal One said is, I really do have plans for you. And they are plans, not evil plans, they are plans for peace, to give you a future and a hope. And never forget that. Listen to me, if we're gonna have real hope, that hope has to be built on something solid. So my hope isn't built on any ideology. It isn't built on any government system. It isn't built on any business. It isn't built on a strong economy. It isn't built on human ingenuity or the power of the human spirit. Some of those things are absolutely wonderful, glorious. We can talk about all of those things. But my hope is built on the God who is faithful. He's faithful. Now you understand that we're going to face difficult times. It will not be too long in this complicated world where a headline is going to make waves and stir up anxieties in all of us again. Such is the world in which we live. But I'm going to come back to the God who has said, I am with you before, during, and after anything that you face. Here's something for you. Israel wasn't the only culture that Babylon attempted to eradicate. But Israel is the only culture that we're still seeing that it's still here. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is faithful. Babylon is long gone. And we've been grafted onto that story. Just like the cross and the resurrection is our story. Rome tried to stamp out the Christian movement. And guess who's still standing? The kingdom of God prevails. Please don't believe those who tell you that the world is too far gone. Don't you believe it. God is still up to something in us and with this world. So into this broken world that is splattered with hate and chaos and everything else, we, the people of God, are to move in, filled with his spirit, just dripping in grace and speaking and working out this kingdom life in love. We can share that together, can't we? Love? Can we do that? Can we celebrate the love that hunted us down and the love that we couldn't pay back in 1,000 lifetimes? That's what this is. Folks, I'm going to ask you in just a second now, and if you would, if we could just make this, I want to make this very private for you, but I would ask you to prepare your hearts. Those of you who know Jesus, we will now come to the table of communion. We who share this in common. You may not agree with somebody 2 rows up from you, but we who know Jesus can agree on this. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to make a way for us. And whoever believes will have this life that lasts and stretches into forever. And on the night of his betrayal, Jesus said, I want you to take the bread and I want you to take the cup. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to just kind of, I want to coach you through that. Those of you who are here with us, actually all of you, this song that will now happen is for you to receive and to use as a moment to prepare your heart. If it were me, maybe this is your last pastoral pointer of the day. I wouldn't jump into communion the first two bars of this song. Take a breath. Understand that God is here with us. He is here at the table, if you will, with us. So I want you to breathe. I want you to remember how much he loves you. I want you to come to him and to thank him. I want you to just, what does he bring to mind now that you can pray for? What is it? And breathe in his presence, his peace. I want you to understand the Lord of all is with us right now. When he says, this bread is my body, which is for you. When he says, this cup is the blood of the new covenant. Whenever you take this, remember me. I want us to remember him. Love you all. Let's keep doing this together. God's up to something. But it will not happen without him. I'm gonna go talk to folks here online for just a second. I would ask you to just pray, if you would. And then we'll move into the time of communion. So I just want to say to those of you who are at the sites and those of you who are joining us here online, we love you. We appreciate your faithfulness. We really do. I know these are strange, difficult times for so, so many reasons. But right now, we will come to the table and remember the God who loved us. And we will remember the Savior who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have a future with him. You want to talk about hope? This is hope. Thank you. Let's stay in touch. Let's do this together. God is up to something. I believe that. Is talking and hitting websites and everything else, we can't hear those voices for the howling storm in our own lives. I want you to hear as you leave that the same Jesus who is sovereign over all of these national issues is sovereign over your personal storm, and he is faithful. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. So leave here now in peace. Plant gardens, build homes, raise your families. Work for the peace of the city. Not because we can do this on our own, but because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.